We're beginning a brief series this morning entitled Come Messiah King. And next Sunday morning, the choir will bring the presentation, a part of which you heard this morning. But this morning's message, as you see in your worship notes, glimpses of His glory. Glimpses of His glory. A glimpse is defined in Webster's dictionary as a hurried momentary look. A hurried momentary look. Not a gaze, but a glimpse. But what is glory? There are various biblical words used in both the Hebrew text and the Greek New Testament text to give the full meaning of what the Bible talks about when it speaks of the glory of God. These are some of the definitions of a variety of Hebrew and Greek words that translate in our one word, glory. Grandeur, an imposing presence, to shine, to make a show, to celebrate, to rave, to brag, to boast, magnificence, majesty, beauty, splendor, honor, weight, significance. All of those terms are a part of what the scripture is talking about when it's describing God in His glory, because He is an imposing presence and He is great and He is magnificent and He has majesty and beauty and splendor and significance. Therefore, we should make a show of Him. We give Him glory by speaking and acting out in ways that point to who He is. We make a show, we celebrate, we rave about Him, we brag, we boast about Him, we honor Him, and we recognize the weight, the significance of who He is. Things can be said to have glory, like the season of winter. We've experienced a little more than a glimpse of glory of this winter season, haven't we? But there is a glory about the beauty of winter. People can experience glory. I read recently where a high school football coach, speaking to his team that was playing for the state championship game, said to the men, "Men, you've practiced, you've prepared, and you've played to get yourself to this place, to this game." And then he said, "Go wrap yourself in glory." What an interesting motivational speech for a high school coach to say to his young men. But with God, glory is more than what He does. It is who He is. Turn with me, please, to the text of scriptures listed for you in your worship notes. Exodus 33, 7 through 23, and Luke chapter 8, verses 8. Chapter 2, sorry, verses 8 through 20. We begin with Exodus chapter 33, verses 7 through 23. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of the Lord's word this morning. And it says in verse 7, "Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting," the place, the tabernacle where Moses met with God. "And it came about that everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And it came about whenever Moses went out to the tent that all the people would arise and stand at each of the entrance of his own tent and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. And as it came about whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent. And the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship, each at the entrance of his own tent. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a younger man, would not depart from the tent. Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, thou dost say to me, bring up this people, but thou thyself hast not let me know whom thou shalt send with them. Moreover, thou hast said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, let me know thy ways, that I may know thee, that I may find favor in thy sight. Consider, too, that this nation is thy people.' And he said, 'My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest.' Then he said to him, 'If thy presence does not go with us, do not lead us from this place. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in thy sight, I and thy people? Is it not by going with thy going with us? So that we and I and thy people may be distinguished from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken. For you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. Then Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see my face and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it shall come about while my glory is passing by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but not my face shall not be seen. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8 through verse 20. And this is what the scripture says. And in the same region there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You shall find a babe wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth among men with whom he is pleased. Peace. And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying one to another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the babe as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all of these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. May the Lord bless you with his word. You may be seated. In the Old Testament text, we find Moses seeking glory. In the New Testament text, we find shepherds shocked by it. Isn't it amazing how glory affects us? All throughout the Bible, we have glimpses of God's glory. In creation, creation itself is simply a canvas on which God has used to paint a picture of his glory. For the Bible says, behold, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show forth his handiwork. When we look at the beauty of creation, the awesomeness of creation, we are seeing an expression, a glimpse. As glorious as it is, it's only a glimpse or an expression of the greatness and the glory of God. In the Old Testament, we find even in this text with Moses, the glory of God is revealed in a cloud. As Moses went into that tent of meeting where he would meet with God, the presence of the Lord was manifest, and the glory of God was manifest in a cloud that descended on that tabernacle, that tent of meeting, and the people recognized it as the presence of God, and it was glorious to them. And the scripture says they all went outside of their dwelling places and worshiped God because God was meeting with Moses. Then sometimes glory is revealed in startling ways, in a consuming fire, the scripture says. In the sight of the Lord, in the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel in Exodus 24. But in our text today, we see the coming of Jesus Christ, and we see even more directly the glory of God. First of all, let's notice glory personified. Glory personified. 1 Chronicles 16:10 says, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. And then the same chapter, 1 Chronicles 16:29, the scripture says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy array. Wow. You know, one of the examples when the disciples were seeking to experience the glory of the Lord. You saw in your worship notes this morning the story of the little boy who said, "Lord, I want to see God with skin on." One of the challenges of communicating really to anybody, and particularly to children, is to talk to them about a God they cannot see, at least directly. And yet that struggle, in some sense, was not unique. It was even a part of the disciples' own struggle. You remember in John chapter 14, that famous text where Jesus is speaking to his disciples in anticipation. His earthly ministry is ended, and he's preparing his disciples for his physical departure from this earth so the Holy Spirit can come down and birth the church and God can continue with his eternal plan. You remember that story? And it's where he says, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am there you may be also." And Thomas says, "Lord, how do we know where you're going? How can we know the way?" And then the text that most of us know, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus has just had this massive encounter of displaying and revealing more of his plan to his disciples at a critical place in his preparing their hearts for his physical departure. And yet, they still don't get it. You know, we're familiar with that passage. But again, let me read to you the verses following that text. It's not on your screen, but I encourage you to turn with me. It's John 14, verse 7 and following. Just after Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." Then Jesus says, "If you have known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and it is enough." He's saying, "Show us God. We want to see his glory." Wow. And then Jesus says, "Have I been with you? Have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me. He does his works, believing me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe on the account of the works themselves." Jesus is saying, "I have displayed my glory, not only in the things that I've spoken," because he says, "The words that I've spoken don't come from me, just from me, but from the Father." And he said, "If you don't believe my words, haven't you seen the glory of the things that I've done? Believe for that. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." Wow. What about this glory? There's a definition that I've made for glory. Look at this definition. Glory is defined in God. It's the person, the character, the actions and activities of God in all that he is and does. The person, the character, the actions and activities of all that God is and does. You see, ultimately, God only has one goal, and that's to glorify himself. You say, "Is God self-centered?" Well, pray tell, who else is he going to be centered with? Something, a lesser thing or person? Hello? God, if God did that, he wouldn't be glorious. What do you want to be centered on you? Give me a break. Does he think of you? Absolutely. Why? Because it glorifies him. Wow. Do you remember the experience again of Moses when he came down from the mountain after having met with God? And the fire came down from onto the mountain as the people were afraid. The scripture even says that if they were to approach the mountain and touch the mountain, they would have been struck dead. But Moses, their leader, was meeting with God. And when Moses came down from the mountain, the people could not even look directly on his face. You know why? His face was glowing with the glory of God. Now that says a lot of things, folks. It says we are made in our essential being to reflect his glory. But in Moses, notice, Moses was not the source of the glory. He was only a reflection of it. But in Jesus Christ, he is the expressed image of God. This is a staggering fact. It's interesting that Philip is talking to God, asking to see God. He's talking to the Son to see the Father. He's looking at glory and not recognizing it and asking to see glory. That's staggering, isn't it? You see, in the birth of Jesus Christ, the glory of God is revealed, but it's also veiled. It's revealed in many ways, the scene of the birth of Christ. It's revealed in the appearance of the star. It's revealed in the appearance of the angel speaking to the shepherds and the heavenly host singing and praising God. Those are staggering glimpses of the grandeur, the greatness, the significance, the weight of God. In the Old Testament, we find examples where we call it a theophany, a pre-incarnate representation of God, like the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Jew boys who were thrown into the fiery furnace. And the leader looks down and says, I put three men in, but I see a fourth one that looks like the Son of God. The glory, a glimpse of the glory. You see, Jesus was glorifying, but his essential glory was veiled. Now, he expressed the glory of God in everything that he said and did, because that which pleases God and is done according to the will of God is that which glorifies God, and it points to the significance and the greatness of God. Every time we live in obedience and faithfulness to the Lord, that uses our life to point someone to God as being the source, and we're simply a reflection, we are glorifying God. We do that. But then Jesus in his earthly ministry displayed in his acts and his power, in his presence, in his person, often glimpses of who he was. You remember, the demons were never confused. You remember there's an incident where that one demon says, "Leave us alone. We know who you are." Wow. There are times when the activities of Jesus gave us glimpses of the power and significance of God. When he was able to stand in that boat and speak to the wind and the rain and the storm and say, "Shh, be still." When he could go to the graveside of a friend and say, "Lazarus, time to get up." Speak to death, it would arise. When he could tell people who were sick, "Time to be healed." Spit on some mud, pack it on an eye, so eyes, sight come back. When Jesus got out of that boat in the midst of the storm, he chose not to quiet it, he chose to walk through it. You see, the power of God is not the absence of the, peace does not come from the absence of the storm, but the presence of the Lord in the storm. And Jesus showed his power, a glimpse of his glory. He's just taking a stroll. Matter of fact, some people suggest, because he had been with the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, and they had fed thousands, and then he sent them in the boat to go on, that the storm hit, and his disciples were in the middle of the sea trying to get on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus was taking a shortcut. Instead of walking around, he's just walking across. A glimpse of his glory. One of the clearest examples is the Transfiguration. You remember that incident where Jesus goes to the mountain and he takes Peter, James, and John there with him, and two of the Old Testament prophets appear, and there's a luminosity about them, and the disciples, James and John, go, "We shouldn't be here." They were horrified. They were awestruck. "What is this?" Transfiguration literally means to cut across, to cross a barrier. It's like Jesus had veiled, had covered the glory of the being, of the essence, of the Father in the Son. And yet God in that moment, that transfiguration, his luminous, shining brightness, they caught a glimpse and they were overcome with it. What does the scripture tell us about heaven? We're not going to need any lights. Michael Moore is here this morning. He was with us today as we were looking at some different lighting for the sanctuary, what it costs and all that kind of stuff. There's going to be a day, Mike, you're going to be out of business. In heaven, Scripture says Jesus is the light. But why does God not let us see more of His glory directly? Well, you saw in the Old Testament text where it says no man could look at God directly in the flesh and live. You know why that is? Because we are still sinners. I've said this repeatedly. Often, if you don't think biblically or theologically, you confuse this. Let me say this again. We are counted righteous, but we're still sinful. I am still a sinner, but God credits me through forgiveness and grace that covers all of my sin. He credits me as being righteous. He relates to me as He relates to His Son, Jesus Christ. But in myself, I'm still a sinner. That's why I still struggle with sin. And hello, you too. So in my sinful state, I cannot look at the holiness of the glory of God directly. You say, what about it says, and Moses spoke to God as face to face? Some people believe, and I have no problem with it, because Jesus in a pre-incarnate representation in the fiery furnace was like as the Son of God, that He possibly could have appeared in human form to Moses and speak to him as man to man, but it was a veiled glory. And what Moses experienced in the cleft of the rock, what he could experience and live, was a glimpse of the unveiled glory of God. So why, pray tell, God would not just open heaven and go to all humanity, here is God, and let the power and the weight and the significance of His essence. You talk about the shepherds being shocked. Listen to me. When God veils His glory, He does it to unveil His glory. Hang on. When God chooses to veil the glory of His essence, He's choosing to unveil the glory of His heart. And when Jesus came down in the form of a man, veiling the essence of who He was, then He revealed through living a sinless life, dying on a cross, being buried and rising again, He revealed the glory of the heart of God. We are saved through God's veiled glory by showing us His heart of mercy, grace, and forgiveness. The power of God is not just demonstrated in creation. The power of God is ultimately demonstrated in redemption. When God could look at you and me and see us as we are and say, I'm willing to die for you. Now, folks, that's glory. One last thing in this point, and then I do move on. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is under glory personified. Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He has made purification for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, and He inherited a more excellent name than they. Number two is glory proclaimed. Glory proclaimed. Once we understand that glory is personified in the life and work and words of Jesus Christ, then it's our obligation to proclaim the glory of God through the Son. John 15:1 says, "My Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Matthew 5:16, "The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." We glorify God, yes, with our deeds and our actions and our words, but those actions, deeds, and words must be rooted in the motivations of the heart that honors God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Just as God cannot do anything except that which points to the glory of who He is, God's people are called to do the same thing. It's to live our lives, our relationships, our works, our resources, our time, our energy, our thoughts, our habits in ways that point to the significance, the weight, and the glory of God. And then, number three, glory promised. Glory promised. 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image, into the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." Romans 8, 29 through 30 says this, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those he justified," here it is, "he also glorifies." We're going to be glorified. But it's reflected glory. Like the moon has no life source of its own, but some nights it sure is bright. Covers the sky with the brilliance of its reflection. Do you remember what it was like to be a child? Some of us may have to strain a little bit. To anticipate Christmas morning or Christmas Eve, I don't know what's your habit. I know every family's got their own traditions. In our family growing up, we always had our Christmas on Christmas Eve, because we shared with my dad's side of the family on Christmas Eve, and then we were at our mom's side of the family on Christmas Day, and so we had Christmas on Christmas Eve. So whenever it was, as a kid, you always look forward to something. Now, growing up, we could share some opinions about what we thought we wanted. It was not always what you got. Can I say that now? I've told you that story. I still remember a blue face watch. I saw a picture. It was in a catalog. I said, "That's what I want right there." I'm still waiting for my blue face watch. Never did get it. But be that as it may, you look forward to it. There was great anticipation. You wanted to get it, whatever it was. I mean, it was going to be a life changer. You're going to get your deal. Wow. And you've seen how kids are. When they're real small, you give them a package, and they rip the paper off and open the box and dump the toy out and play with the box. You know, you've seen that. And then when kids, we even went through this. You know, you're so excited, you got to look forward. You're going to get that deal. And man, for the next, whatever time they had before we could leave, and our kids, we always had on Christmas morning, and then we'd have to, okay, open it real quick and go through the things, and now put it back because we got to go to somebody's house, you know, for lunch. You know how that is. Well, they got to play with it a little bit, and then they could put it back, and then they kind of, when can we go home? Or, you know, experience this, to share in the glory of their toy. It doesn't take long for the new to wear off. As a matter of fact, one of the things we used to do is that when came Christmas time, before they got more, they had to weed through some of the things they had. We're not adding to your room, okay? You're going to weed some stuff out. We're going to gift that away before we provide more space. Isn't it amazing how old new stuff gets? But let me tell you, with the gift of Jesus Christ, He is a gift that keeps on giving. Why does God show us His glory? It's just like this. Not because He's just an egotist, because it's who He is. Who else is more significant than Him? Who else deserves it? He is the center of all things. But it's like we in our sinfulness are in a dark room. It's a dark room, and we are stumbling around trying to feel our way and find our way out. We cannot see. It's so black. And all of a sudden, a bright light comes on in the distance. And we look, and we see. It's a light that's coming through a doorway, which we could not have seen before because of the darkness. But once the light of the doorway came, we knew the way out was going towards the light. When God shows us His glory in Jesus Christ, He's showing us the way out. Let's pray together. My Heavenly Father, thank You for revealing glimpses of Your glory, but also veiling Your glory so that the glory of Your heart can be revealed through forgiveness and grace and mercy. Lord, it could be that there's some this morning that Christmas time is not as pleasant as they had hoped. Could be physical problems, could be family problems, could be economic problems, financial problems. God, I pray that we would look to the light, the truth of Your word, the presence of Jesus Christ in this world and in our lives for the way through the darkness. I pray, Lord Jesus, that if there's some in this service this morning that are struggling in their life, in their faith, in their heart, in their relationships, God, I pray that You would help us to see that the way out is through the glory of the gift of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we look to You. May we lean on You. May we depend on You as we learn to continue to rejoice in the Christ whose presence in our life continues to show us the way through. Lord, if there's someone else here this morning that's never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, I pray that this morning would be their time, and now would be their moment to receive, to take the gift of Christ to their self. God be glorified now with our response to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.